Well, good evening. This is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and of course we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being. We have with us on the line Bob Griswold, from Ready Reserve Foods, and of course he supports Radio Liberty and helps us broadcast here 5 hours a day across America. And of course Bob is into preparedness, and certainly this is something I think is very, very important. I don't know whether there's going to be a bird flu epidemic. From a purely logical point of view, I would say the chances are extremely unlikely, but you have to understand there really are people out there who have a different worldview, and they know how to create deadly new diseases. And any of you doubt that, we'll be glad to send you the pages from Dr. MacArthur's testimony in 1969, July of 1969, before the House Appropriations Committee, where he talks about wanting $10 million to create a new disease for which there is no immune response. And some people think the Army should not produce this because it's a new disease, because it'd be another method of mass killing, but they want to go ahead and do it anyway. And he said it'd take 5 to 10 years. 10 years later, we had the first cases of acquired immunodeficiency disease. It occurred predominantly in homosexuals who'd received a hepatitis B vaccine in San Francisco and the New York and Los Angeles. And, of course, in San Francisco, we have the figure 75% of the homosexuals were foolish enough to take the experimental vaccine. 75% of them developed AIDS. And they're almost all dead. So did the Army produce that? Well, we have people who claim that they've been told by people who were part and parcel of these dark side operations that they actually did create new diseases. Would they unleash a global pandemic on the world that would kill countless hundreds of millions of people? Certainly Jacques Cousteau quoted in the November 1991 UNESCO Courier was quoted as saying, we're going to have to eliminate 350,000 people a day. If you'd like to see the Dr. MacArthur's testimony or the statement by Jacques Cousteau, we'll be glad to send that to you free of charge. If you call us at 1-800-544-8927, that's 1-800-544-8927, you have to understand the degree of evil that's out there. And with that as the background, we want to assure you, you've got to start getting prepared, and to help you know more about that, Bob Griswold. Hi, Bob.
How are you doing, Doctor?
I'm doing just fine. Well, what do you think? Do you think that most people already realize that we've got real problems in America? We could be facing nuclear war with Iran. We could be facing a global epidemic. We could face more created storms, because they do have the ability to create storms or droughts.
Well, Doctor, all I have to do is say, you know, I was listening to a man the other day speak, and this might be a little controversial statement, but I stand by it. It says, there's no fact more denied nor more provable than the total depravity of mankind. All we have to do is look at the last century as an example. The carnage, the war, the barbarism, the absolute underhanded deals of setting people up only to take them down, of trading, of major corporations trading with enemies of the United States, of, again, the biological, the nuclear chemical experiments done to people, the death camps, the Japanese tortures, the U.S. tortures of Germans after the war. A lot of people don't know that happened, but it did. there was no end in the 20th century to man's the absolute inhumanity and depravity of man.
Hold that thought right for just a moment. We'll be back with Bob Griswold. We're talking about, you better start getting prepared. Go ahead, Bob.
Well, again, as I was saying, in the last century, just have to look and see what we did. I don't know how many untold hundreds of millions of people were killed in the last century, unnatural deaths, because of man's interference with the laws of nature and man's desire to global conquest. So, yes, as science has improved, Doctor, and gives man more of the keys to unlock the basic codes of humanity development, a fabric of the universe, and a lot of people don't understand that science is going on today that is trying to unlock the very building blocks that hold matter together. It just, things we can't even begin to understand that they're delving into with really no consequence. They're dropping a pebble in the pond without any consequence to the ripples. It's like they want to ignore the ripples, or they want to create the ripples. We don't know, but the ripples will be there. You know, I've been spending the last couple weeks, Doctor, looking at this thing with gold and silver, realizing that it's really basically almost doubled. Silver's almost doubled, and gold is on its way. George Bush talking about not disclosing the M3 money supply anymore, the total amount of money in the economy, which he inflated when he got into office from $6.5 trillion to $11 trillion. So basically you have to figure out, wow, my house has doubled in price. I am really doing well. No, you're not. They just doubled the money supply, so it takes twice as much to buy it. It's an illusion, Doctor, and our economy is teetering on the brink. And what I don't understand is that people, really on a whole, and I'm not saying the people listening to this program, but people on a whole in America do not want to face the facts. You try to tell them the facts, and they get very aggravated and defensive at you that somehow the Republicans are... The only difference between the Republicans and the Democrats is the Democrats started at the head skinning you down, and the Republicans start at the feet skinning you up. And so they'll meet in the middle, but there is really no difference. We were promised under this administration, you know, to balance the budget, to do all these great things that people wanted to hear, bring morality back in government, all this. But again, man is incapable or unwilling to do it. So when people ask me, what should I do? I mean, I really feel it's so obvious what we need to be doing as diligent and a studious people. That it really doesn't even bear need to be said. I mean, you need food every day, Doctor. You need it every day. We've seen little pockets in the last year of people who were deprived of basic necessities for short periods of time, and it really turned into a jungle. People, anarchy, shooting, I mean, just everything, robbery, rape, murder. For just a short period of time, people were deprived of the basic necessities of life. Now,
Hold that thought right now, and of course I think Bob is talking about, we saw terrible things that happened with Katrina. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Bob Griswold, and we're simply talking about the fact that everybody should start getting prepared for the possibility of some very difficult times. If you are reading and seeing what they're talking about over in the Middle East, the Israelis are saying they anticipate that the Iranians will have a nuclear bomb by May, and they're not going to allow it to happen. We're talking about just a very few months from now, and the Israelis are simply coming right out and saying, you know, if it looks like Iran is going to develop the nuclear bomb, why we're going to go after them. Now, this gives a certain sense of urgency what's going on. I happen to believe Iran has already got the bomb. I think that this is simply going to be an excuse to plunge us into the war. I think the leader of Iran is doing everything he can to foment the war, because I suspect he is part and parcel of the brotherhoods that we talk about, the secret brotherhoods that work behind the scenes, that are moving America, the world, towards World War III. And what can we do about it? Well, we can only know what's going to happen and begin to prepare ourselves and our family and friends for the very difficult times that I personally believe lie ahead. Bob Griswold was just talking about the fact that gold and silver have been going up. And, you know, gold is like a canary in a mine shaft. You take the canary down in the mine shaft, because when the canary gets sick, canaries are sensitive to poison gas, and you want to get out of that mine shaft when the canary dies. Well, the same thing is true with gold. Gold is a barometer of something bad that's about to happen, and when gold suddenly begins to move upward, it means that the people who control the monetary system of the world have lost control of gold. They've kept it down for many years because they wanted to force you to use their funny money, useless fiat money system that, of course, was doomed to collapse. And the fact that gold has suddenly begun to move up is like the canary in the mine shaft. And it actually hit 5:30 today. I think it closed at 5:29, something like that. Gold actually was up over $9, was back to $8.99. Those who have been listening to our programs and began to prepare for difficult times have done very, very well. But right now, I think all we can do is tell you that I personally believe that 2006 is going to be one of the most dangerous years you've ever lived through. So pick up the story there, Bob.
Doctor, I totally agree with you. I've been doing this preparedness business for 12 years, and I've encouraged people to prepare, it's just not I, but a lot of other people have been telling the same message. This government, this economy cannot continue. We cannot continue to mock the laws of God. We cannot continue to use financial irresponsibility, spending money like a drunken sailor. You know, that's what the Republicans used to accuse the Democrats of. And now, the Democrat, really, I have to say this, Doctor, and I loathe the man, Bill Clinton, but he did manage the economy better than George Bush has done. And that's not saying much. That's a horrible thing, because we were promised financial responsibility, and I understand the fact that we went to war, and I understand the fact that there was unavoidable natural disasters, but other than that, it's still throwing money at everything just in the most stupid fashion. So I have to ask myself this question, Doctor. Can it be blamed on stupidity? I don't think it can be blamed on stupidity, because stupid people don't do things like that.
I think that there is a conscious effort to destroy our economy, to transfer our jobs, to transfer our factories, to transfer our wealth to other countries, and to impoverish the American people, and I think we're on the very, very brink of that today.
Doctor, you know, I ask, if I finish that argument, if it is stupidity, how many people listening to me right now would go out with their MasterCard and just go on a drunken spree with it, buying everything in sight, and then at the end of the month go, I didn't know a bill was coming? No, nobody thinks that way. Everybody knows that when you take your MasterCard out and you go buy something with it, at the end of the month the bill comes. The government wants to make you think that they don't believe that. Now, there's no way that anybody can be that stupid and believe that. There's always a bill that comes from spending, deficit spending. There's always a bill that shows up. So we have actually mortgaged, I think it was almost to the fact by the end of 2006 of actual selling our country, because it is money for lent against the good faith of the United States, about $29,000 per person in the United States of what they admit to. So the country is bankrupt. It is bankrupt, and that's why, again, we see the housing going up, because it takes more and more of their phony money to buy something that's real. A house is real. It's a real tangible product versus, you know, you having to give this funny money for it, and it's going to continue to go up. But again, if you looked at the gold argument, you know, the amount of gold that you would have bought 20 years ago when it was down, I mean, even 15 years ago, it was down $286 an ounce, you know, really, you would have to have the same amount of gold, and you could buy the same house. It's the money that's deflating. It's not that your house is getting more valuable.
Well, but Bob, what should people be doing now in the preparation for the difficult times?
Well, Doctor, I'm going to say this. If anybody does not have a food supply in their house, I believe the time to get one is very, very limited. Alpine Air, Mountain House, and the other people that are supplying them, the times to get the food supply are stretching out. I want to tell people today, if you order a food supply today, you will wait about 30 days to get your food supply.
Well, now, isn't that rather unusual? Haven't you actually had, you know, much more rapid delivery before this?
Well, absolutely. But people now, because of Hurricane Katrina and these other things, people are starting to buy, and they're starting to get backed up. You let a nuclear bomb go off in the Middle East and kiss your food supply goodbye, you will never get it. It will not happen. And I'm not trying to scare people. I'm not trying to. If you don't want to buy it from me, I believe that a person should be prepared. Go down to Walmart and buy it. Give your money to China and buy it there or somewhere. Go buy one. But the Alpine Air, the Mountain House, what we have, they're long-term food supplies. They can store for a long period of time. Depending on how much you want to spend, you can go a month, a year, however. I personally believe each person should have a year's worth of food in their house for each member. That's my personal belief. And it's up to each individual to determine that. we've been advertising, and I do want to make this clear because I think there's some people are unclear with this. The $298 for the two people for a month food supply, it retails for over about $350. We have it marked down at $298, and they're shipping with it. So whatever the UPS charges us to ship it, that's all we charge. We don't charge any more. If that your UPS charges $50, we charge $50. So, but that's the minimum. You think of having a month's worth of food in your house. Personally, I think what's coming, Doctor, is going to last a lot longer than a month. I think it has potential to last years, years of economic downturn, because it will take, when this economy finally does collapse, it'll take years to go back and to try to reassemble a national economy, because it will be totally destroyed. And who knows what's going to happen with the creditors that we owe money to, what they're going to do, the foreign nations that we owe all this money to. I think China's becoming a major threat to the United States. I think, really, I was reading some reports the other day, Doctor, we are scared to death, and our allies realize that we can no longer take China on militarily, and because we've been sending all our money over there, and they've been using it to build a very, very powerful military.
Well, I think it's sort of like deja vu all over again. We built up Adolf Hitler in preparation for the Second World War. We built out Japan in preparation for the Second World War. We financed the North Vietnamese all during the Vietnam War. And, of course, certainly we had built up the Soviet Union during the Second World War so they could back the North Vietnamese. Pardon me, the North Koreans during the Korean War, and of course the Chinese were getting military aid from the Russians, and they were backing the Koreans during the Korean War. So in every major war we've been involved in, we are financing the very people who are killing our boys, as it is today. I mean, who's financing the insurgents in Iraq? Well, there's a fund set up by the Palestinian Liberation Organization for the families of the suicide bombers who are killing American boys. Who's funding the PLO? Your tax money. Where does the rest of the money come from, the insurgents? Saudi Arabia. Who's backing and protecting the Saudi Arabians and even providing them with $110 million, or at least part of that recently? If any of you would like to see the article by Congressman Ron Paul, where he points out that recently appropriated $110 million for development in the Middle East, part of which will go to Saudi Arabia and part will go to Pakistan. Pakistan trains the terrorists. The Saudis finance the terrorists. And who's funding the Saudis? Why, we are. So it's like deja vu all over again, and I think you're absolutely right. We are building up the best enemy money could buy in communist China today. And it's all being done with money from the World Bank, which we finance, the International Monetary Fund, which we finance, the Agency for International Development, which we finance, the Asian Development Bank, which we finance, and American corporations and American banks.
So, Doctor, that's what I'm saying is this, and I think you agree, there's really not a lot one person can do. It's not wise to stand on the train tracks when the train's coming at you at 90 miles an hour and tell the train that it's not supposed to be there. You're going to get run over, and you're going to die. So my advice to people is this. I think world events will spiral out of control. And personally, I don't even think that mankind himself will be able to control it, because once it gets going, it usually takes the loss of the ability to fight a war. That means the destruction of one side or both sides so that you cannot fight it anymore before it ends. And we see that going on in Iraq right now. What we thought was going to be a short little war, we would go over there and end it. Now you're into a quagmire, and it's going to be years, decades over there, because it's easy to pick up the sword. It's hard to put it down.
Well, Bob, how can people get in touch with you and get information from you?
Well, they can call me at 800-627-3809. Again, that's 800-627-3809. We have a website. It's readymaderesources.com. Again, that's readymaderesources.com. And they can go there, and we have a lot of free information on the website. I'm always available. People can call that number. And if they have questions about preparing, I've been doing this for a long time, Doctor. I've really had a lot of expert training from other people on ways to prepare, families can prepare, what you can do, putting yourself in a safer position. I know you've worked with gold a lot, and that's one of the things that you've helped people do, is get themselves in more of a financial safe position. But, in the long run, if we don't have food, if we don't have the ability to procure safe, clean drinking water, if we don't have maybe even the implements to protect ourselves at times, those are things people need to be thinking about now, because I really say this in all the years I've been doing it, Doctor. I think the time is very limited now. I think the world is spiraling into World War III, And I think when it happens, the time to prepare will be over. You know, the Lord said, while it is day, work. The night comes when no man can work. And I believe that's coming upon the world, darkness. And that when it comes, the ability to prepare will be very limited, if not available at all.
We'll be back in just a moment here with Bob Griswold from Ready Made Resources. Well, Bob, go ahead, and certainly I agree with you. I think that people should begin making preparations. I think that only foolish people would not. You should be able to see the signs of the times. It says in the scriptures, you know, when you see certainly a red sky in the morning, why, that's a good sign. Yeah. But if you see a red sky at night, why, you certainly... I said that red sky in the morning was a difficult time. Red sky at night was a comfortable time. A red sky in the morning, sailors take a warning. Red sky at night, sailors delight. That's the biblical scripture, but the basic ideas are there in the scriptures. There are signs of the times. And I think if we don't see the signs of the times now, when are you possibly going to see them as America, as a nation, turns away from God? When we find an organized, coordinated effort all across America to take the word Christmas out of greetings and say Happy Holiday rather than Merry Christmas. When we find the Christmas tree in New York, pardon me, in Washington, D.C., called a holiday tree rather than a Christmas tree, what is this telling us? It's telling us there's an organized effort to destroy the Christian foundation of this country.
George Bush's holiday card this year just said Happy Holidays. It didn't say Merry Christmas. It said Happy Holidays. Now, as a professing Christian, I don't understand that, because as a professing Christian, I would want to make sure that I acknowledge the whole reason for the season is the birth of the Savior of the world, Jesus Christ. But just to say Happy Holidays, which they will eventually probably even get away from that, because the word holiday does come from the word holy day, and so that eventually will become politically incorrect, and they'll just say Winter Solstice or whatever they'll call it, which is an occultic holiday. So we're going to see this happen, and again, can we stop it? That's in the providence of God. I hope we can. I hope that there's time to turn things around, Doctor. I really do. I don't have a lot of hope for it. I think the world is headed towards World War III, and coupled on that, with the Western economies teetering on bankruptcy, with all these new emerging diseases that we just see coming out, and it's just not the bird flu. It's SARS, West Niles, you name it. That are proliferating. You definitely see tension in the Middle East rising. The armies of the world are very particular what's going on there, with several of these countries developing nuclear weapons and tensions rising. You see the rise of the Oriental Empire. And let me tell you something with the Oriental Empire, China. They are very studious people. They are to be admired in some ways because they're very studious. They're very determined people. And for all of their history, Doctor, they have basically stayed within their borders. There's something fundamentally changed in their doctrine today, and that's the fact that they are building a very powerful offensive military. So you can very seldom find that in their history. They have basically stayed within the Chinese borders. But today they're building offensive nuclear missiles with the intercontinental ballistic missile. They're acquiring, you know, aircraft carriers. They're acquiring attack killer submarines from the Russians. They're acquiring high-tech missile technology, satellite technology. They just put astronauts in space. Doctor, they are on the move militarily, and they are building an offensive military for a reason. And again, they're doing it because we have such a trade deficit. Billions and billions of our dollars are going over there. They're basically our technology is being siphoned right out of this country so that they are acquiring the best and the brightest of American minds. And so they can skip all that research and development and just procure the products and build them. So those are just a few of the things. The depletion of the ocean's food reserves. I could go on for 20 minutes like that talking, Doctor. People might accuse me of being an alarmist, saying things to sell stuff. Whatever. I mean, I'm just saying these are the facts. People need to do with the facts as they see fit. If you think it's just a bunch of hogwash and nothing is of it, then, you know, that's what you need to do.
Hold that thought right there, Bob. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Bob Griswold. And if you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question for Bob, he'll be with us a few minutes more. Give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. Bob, let's get your website out one more time.
Okay, they can go to the website, ready-made resources, and that's R-E-A-D-Y-M-A-D-E, R-E-S-O-U-R-C-E-S, ready-made resources, all one word, .com.
And of course, do you actually have a checklist there of things that people should be getting and putting aside in case there was a problem?
Yeah, it's just like this year, Doctor. You know, I hate to admit it, I turned 50 this year, and so there's something I had to add, to my survival supplies that I didn't have to add before, and that was reading glasses. And so there's all kinds of things like that that you might or might not need, and you can go through the list. The list was not put together by me, but it was put together as a very thorough, comprehensive checklist, and people can go through it. Medications, glasses, things like that that you might need, you know, food, water, you know, if you live in the country, do you, how are you going to heat your home? Do you have a wood fireplace to burn? You know, what are you going to drink? How are you going to get water? What are you going to drink? There's all kinds of things like that people need to think about. And all again, we had a very, a little microcosm of one city that did without power and the necessities of life for a few days, and we saw what happened. People literally went berserk. The civilization broke down.
Well, I think it's very interesting that down in New Orleans, there were a few people who really were prepared for a major cataclysmic event. And in certain of the areas that weren't so badly flooded, the people had their generators, they had their food, they had the ability to keep their food refrigerated, and they stayed on in their homes and protected them. Now, the people who left their homes many times, marauders broke into them, they actually had gangs coming in from other areas to pillage, to loot, and of course, initially the military, the police, were really more, sometimes they were involved in the looting right along with the looters. So, you know, you had to really be there to look after yourself. But there were some people who were prepared, and they are still there and doing quite well. And the rest of the people, of course, fled, and their homes were abandoned. Now, certainly, had you been in the area that was very, very badly flooded, there's very little you could have done to protect yourself, because those people were clinging to the top of their homes. But if there were a major development, a major disaster in America, people, most people, would have to stay in their homes. But where would you get water? Where would you get the other things that are essential?
It's not wise to live below sea level. It's a good lesson to learn there. And that's some of the things that people can learn. I wouldn't want to live next door to an intercontinental ballistic missile silo, would you? I mean, it just doesn't seem like a safe place to live to me. I wouldn't want to live next to certain things. And so sometimes people need to reevaluate where they live. And again, I think that you mentioned something, you know, about the police looting and all this, and I just can't help but to think about how wonderful it is that we do eradicate the very Christian behavior that prevents those type of activities, that's no longer an acceptable behavior, Christian behavior. And when we do that, we get those results, and people can't figure out, why does that happen? Why do people do that? There's no moral code. And that's the thing that scares me more than anything, Doctor. If we go back to the Great Depression, 1929, 1930s, early 30s, you know, what we had is a far more moral society and a far more religious society, and when people were in need, we saw a lot more of neighborhoods coming together and people helping each other out. Sure, there was always the opportunist that did something bad. You can always find that example, but as a whole, we were a nation that stuck together. Today, we're a nation divided, and when these things happen, it will be, just from this last example, largely, it could be every man or woman for themselves. And that's why, again, the need to prepare. Whether you buy it from me, wherever you get it from, wherever you go, there's a lot of people out there that you can get this stuff from, and people need to be thinking about it. You sell the big Berkey water filter. And again, I just don't understand someone not having something like that today, because it is such a necessity with the, you know, even the drinking water that we drink is highly toxic a lot of times, and people are becoming sick from it. The ability to purify water, the ability to have food, even if you go down to, again, the grocery store and are buying cans of beans, cans of, you know, whatever you want to buy, whatever you like, just setting aside cans of food. It's one of these things that's essential. Solar energy.
I think that people really have to sit down and really sort of plan out what you would have, and certainly you'd want to have, well, I think that Bob can tell you the wheat you'd certainly want to have in bulk containers. Wheat is something that's the staff of life. And then, of course, there's certain of the dehydrated foods that, you know, certainly are freeze-dried foods that will provide you what you need. Why don't you just give your telephone number and your website out one more time, Bob?
Okay, and again, we have that food supply on sale for people who buy from us, listening to the program. It's $298. and shipping. So, but that's a month for two people. And they can get in touch with me at 800-627-3809. And the website is readymaderesources.com. Again, that's 800-627-3809.
Bye-bye. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Doctor. Bye-bye.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course, we are going to have open lines this last half hour, and then, of course, next hour, we're going to have with us Bob Chapman. So, but right now, if you'd like to give us a call, why, a telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, that's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. And I'm reading the most fascinating book. It's called The Devil's Game. And it goes into the background of the whole Islamic terrorist movement. Did you know that the Islamic terrorist movement that we face today came out of Freemasonry? That back about the same time when Cecil Rhodes was becoming inspired to create a secret society to take over control of the world, and I'm talking about in 1870, 1871, 1872, he wrote his Confession of Faith in 1875, well, it was about that same time. In the 1870s, there was a man named Afghani. And actually, he was a Persian, but he pretended that he was from Afghanistan. And he was a man who went around trying to organize the radical Islamic movement. You must understand that radical Islam, as we see it today, had really been dead for many, many hundreds of years. And certainly after the attack on Vienna in 1688, I think it was, the Muslim hordes were turned back from Europe, and the Muslims were living in their part of the world, the Christians were living in their part of the world, and there was not a great deal of conflict between them. Europe was advancing. Certainly the Arab countries, which had one time been the center of architecture and mathematics, and had really made so many really contributions to humanity, why the Arabs were not doing that well financially. Of course, they were brought under the control, they were under the control of the Ottoman Empire, the Turkish Empire. And the Muslims were living in peace with, more or less with peace with one another. There was a little rivalry between the Sunnis and the Shia Muslims. And then comes along a man named Afghani. And Afghani was a Freemason. Although he professed to be a deeply religious Muslim, he was, of course, using that to gain power for himself, and he founded the radical Islamic movement, pretending he believed in the God of the Quran, that he believed in the God that Muhammad had advocated, that he was a follower of Allah. He was really an atheist. He was a Freemason, and they began working actually with the Freemasons in Great Britain. And here was this man pushing the radical Islamic movement, which we see today, and working in very close conjunction with the British Foreign Office. Fascinating insight into the history of how we got to where we are today, and we'll be back here in just a moment at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we're going to have open lines here for the next 25 minutes or so. So we do hope that many of you out there will give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464, if you have something that you'd like to talk about. But I was talking about a book I've just started to read. I saw it written up in, I believe it was in the Washington Post, a brief book review. It's called The Devil's Game. And it's the story of where did the radical Islamic movement come from. Now, the radical Islamic movement, as we know it today, really did not exist prior to when the CIA began funding Mujahideen in Afghanistan in 1980, and of course till we brought the Ayatollah Khomeini to power in 1979. There really was no radical Islamic movement anywhere in the world other than a small little organization in Egypt known as the Muslim Brotherhood. So this book actually takes you back in history. Where did the Muslim Brotherhood come from? This Muslim Brotherhood that works in close conjunction with the Wahhabis in Saudi Arabia. And this is the very center of the whole world Islamic radical movement that is fostering terrorism throughout the world today. And it really all came about because of a man named Afghani, who was a Freemason, who did not believe in Allah at all, but he professed to believe in Allah, and he professed to believe that what we needed was a worldwide Islamic State, and he was working in conjunction with the British Foreign Office, and the two of them were contriving together how they were going to put down any form of Arab nationalism. And so the British were actually financing the man who created the Muslim Brotherhood, although the Muslim Brotherhood wasn't created until 1928. Why, the forerunners to it were all disciples of this man named Afghani. And of course, what was really so fascinating was how all this tied into the secret societies. And the book brings this out quite vividly, going into the background of Afghani and his Masonic beliefs. And of course, as he was able to travel around the world, and he was able to travel to France and to Russia and to Great Britain, and he was always in touch with the Masonic lodges there. So it was the Masonic lodges that were actually working in conjunction to create the Muslim Brotherhood, which is the really the from which this whole Islamic terrorist movement, we talk about the danger of the radical Islamic movement today. Is there really a terrorist movement that threatens America? Well, let me ask you a question. Do you think for 1 minute that if our leaders really believed that there was a radical Islamic movement that was going to infiltrate our country and disrupt our society, that they wouldn't be enforcing the immigration laws and keeping Islamic terrorists from crossing into the United States from Mexico? It doesn't really make sense if our leaders really believe that there's an Islamic terrorist movement. Do you think that if our leaders really believed that there was an Islamic terrorist movement, they would not have done everything they could to have air marshals on every plane in America? There's only about 10% of the planes that actually have air marshals on them. If there was really an Islamic terrorist movement, don't you think that they would want every pilot on every plane armed so that they could protect people? And the question is, you know, if there was really an Islamic terrorist movement, wouldn't you think that they would have some sort of devices on all of our civilian airliners that would actually prevent them from being shot down with surface-to-air missiles? It would be so easy to shoot down any one of our airliners as it was taking off or as it was landing. And yet, everything has been done by our government to discourage that. Now, the Israeli airliners have these devices on them, but we can't quite figure out how to do that. Certainly our own military devices or military planes have these devices, but we can't figure out how to do that. Is it possible that the Islamic terrorist movement is simply created as a justification for taking away the freedom of the American people? And let me simply point out to you that we are repeatedly told these Islamics are planning all over the world to destroy America. We're far better off to be fighting them on the streets of Baghdad than the streets of New York. And yet, it's been 4 years now since the September 11th attack. There's not been one major terrorist attack on the United States today since that time. Not one major attack on the United States since the September 11th. How could that be? Well, I'll tell you how that can be. We have this whole Islamic terrorist movement thoroughly infiltrated, and they've been watching these people for a long time within just a few days of September 11th. Why, we had picked up over 1,000 Muslims here in this country who were here illegally, and we shipped all of them home, but none of them, as far as we can tell, were part of the Islamic terrorist movement. There were only a few people like Massawi. And Massawi was being watched. Do you remember the fellow Nicholas Byrd, who was beheaded over there in Iraq? And Nicholas Byrd was in touch with Massawi. They were both in Oklahoma together, and somehow they were exchanging code words for their computers. And you can get this off the internet. And then, of course, when Nicholas Byrd, poor Mr. Byrd, gets captured by the Islamic terrorists, at least that's what we're told, over there, why, of course, the Islamic terrorists issue him a standard military orange jumpsuit. And you can still get those pictures off the internet. And there's Mr. Berg, captured by the wicked Islamic terrorists, wearing a standard military orange jumpsuit. How many Islamic terrorist cells do you think issue people, American orange jumpsuits, prisoner jumpsuits, when they capture them. And then shortly after that, Mr. Berg is beheaded. Could it be that Mr. Berg knew too much? Well, let's go to Darlene, who's calling from New Jersey. Hi, Darlene. How are you doing?
Yeah, hi.
All right, is it pretty cold back there?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead. Yeah. Did you have a question or comment?
You heard about the three people who were supposed to speak at Princeton, but they wouldn't let them?
No, I didn't. Tell me about it.
Oh, yeah. They were former, they call themselves terrorists, who they became believers and they turned from that. And they wouldn't let them speak at Princeton.
Why wouldn't they? Because they were Christians, I suppose.
Yeah, but
I mean, because all these men, I believe, are Christians. I know one of them we've actually interviewed, and he was a Palestinian terrorist, and certainly he is born again Christian. Were all three of them Christians? You know,
I think so.
Okay, and well, I can understand why Princeton wouldn't have them there. They'd probably allow anybody, you know, a radical Islamic person to come, and a radical atheist to come, and anybody who hated Christians to come, but. You know, of course, we're taking the Christ out of Christmas, we're taking the Christ out of schools, we're taking the Christ out of our society, but, and we certainly wouldn't want to allow Christians to be speaking at universities, would we?
No, and I get a newsletter from a guy who's messianic, he's in Israel now, and he does believe that things are gearing up for war with Syria, which would... lead us into the Third World War.
And I think you're absolutely right.
Yeah. Now, what he said is, like these leaders of these countries, well, I mean, Sharon, I never trusted him. He said he's the 33rd degree Mason. They found that out.
Mm-hmm.
The head of Egypt and, you know, some of these other countries. And he said, as far as, like, the Palestinians go, they're brainwashed constantly. And he said he's trying to talk to some of them that they're being used, you know.
Okay, you mean, but after all, I mean, they're getting their news from Al Jazeera, which is the Muslim terrorist network, at least the television network that that actually is supposedly airs all of this radical Islamic material. And certainly we've seen some of the television footage. We have it on a video called The New Barbarians. That's The New Barbarians. And it's just trying to indoctrinate these poor little kids into hatred and wanting to become, you know, suicide bombers. But who finances Al Jazeera? Well, of course, a lot of the people working for it actually came from BBC. And it's up on a satellite that's controlled by BBC. And right here in the United States, they have a satellite. It's called Telstar 5. And it circulates right over the United States. And, of course, it carries Al Jazeera, both in Arabic, and I understand it's going to have it in English. Why would the United States allow a television station that is preaching hatred of America and promoting this radical form of Islam, which is supposedly the enemy of the United States, why would they let that up on an American satellite, Telstar 5? Unless, of course, this whole thing is as phony as a $3 bill, and they're doing everything they can to inflame the passions of the Arabs and the Muslims.
Now, another thing he said about the Council on National Policy.
Council on National Policy, right.
Yeah.
Now, who are you quoting?
Huh?
Who said about national policy? Donald, oh, you're the fellow who writes the newsletter. Okay, go ahead.
He's in Israel.
Oh, okay.
And he talked about Tim LaHaye started that.
Right.
And all these the religious broadcasters and all of them are involved in that.
Right.
Yeah. You know, so I think that's, you know, people are being brainwashed into things that are not true.
Well, I will tell you that there are an awful lot of good people in the Council on National Policy, but their whole theme is, we've got to support the president, we've got to support the war, this is a just war. They bring in the people from the Project for the New American Century, and the leaders of the Project for the New American Century, and never anybody from the other side. And as a result, why, all these good people are being misled. But isn't that the way you'd expect them to work?
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, I think some of them must know, there has to be somebody in there that knows what they're doing. I mean, they mention people, Tommy Thompson, Tom DeLay.
Yeah.
Ashcroft, who went to work with Pat Robertson, who I never trusted.
Well, I'll tell you what, there are a lot of good people there. There are a lot of people there that I don't trust, and I don't know if you know or not, but I happen to belong to the Council of National Policy, and I'm the one fellow who gets up there and tells them what's really going on, and I keep my membership so that I can at least have a voice of sanity. And like last time I got up and gave a talk as I came down off the podium, why, Phyllis Schlafly was there, and she leaned over and she said, "Stan, that really needed to be said." So here's a chance to reach the leaders of the country, but I will tell you I'm very concerned that we do not hear both sides there at those meetings.
Yeah, but I mean, what do you think about, like, getting up like that? Like, do you think anybody's listening, or do you think you're making yourself a target?
You do what's right, Darlene. And yes, you, people are listening, and they may not necessarily agree, but you tell them the truth, and you give them newsletters, and you give them, sometimes we'll pass out videos of four tape sets, and we know that there's some people there who do agree with us, and I hope there's a growing number of them. But at least we have to give them the truth, because these are the people who could turn America around, and there are an awful lot of really wonderful people in that organization. And some of them, I talked to one just today, who, you know, I would say one of the three leaders of the Christian conservative movement. I asked him what he thought about the war, and he said, "I'm terribly concerned about it." And, of course, he will be coming onto one of our other programs another next week or so. So there are a lot of good people out there, but they just don't have much of a voice, which is why I do what I do, to give them a voice. At least those people are willing to stand up and say, what we're doing is morally wrong. But we're being manipulated by secret societies.
Yeah, but isn't it like that at the UN meetings that a lot of people attend, and if anybody tries to speak up, then, you know, they go against them?
You're absolutely right, because they always are the ones who control the chairmanship. They promote one another into key positions. I saw this in organized medicine, and I see this in a conservative and Christian and anti-communist organizations. And the great tragedy is, other than perhaps two organizations I can think of, we really have no effective leadership in America today.
Yeah, and I think, you know, above all things, I think, you know, if there's any way that we could prevent this war with Syria, trying to, you know, going into a third world war, I think that's imperative.
Well, I'm more worried about the coming war with Iran. And I will tell you, today I talked to a Christian missionary just back from Israel. And she says that both Sharon and Netanyahu have said, and this is within the last week, and this is what they're telling the Jewish people, the Israelis, that if it looks like Iran is going to get the nuclear bomb, that they are going to attack. So if Israel attacks Iran, it will plunge the world into a nuclear war. And this is exactly what they're talking about in Israel today. Now, you must understand that none of this really makes sense. Because Iran does not threaten the United States. And I do not believe for one minute that Iran would attack Israel, because if they did, they knew that they would be there'd be terrible retaliation, and certainly Israel would simply drop atom bombs and wipe out Tehran and all the major Iranian cities. Why all the emphasis on Iran? Certainly, China has nuclear weapons, and we're doing everything we can to finance them getting more nuclear weapons. We recently guaranteed loans for 5 nuclear power plants, and those power plants, you could be able to breed, you know, plutonium in there, for which you could make nuclear bombs. Oh, we couldn't have Iran doing that, but because they might make a nuclear bomb. China already has nuclear bombs. They've already threatened, and within the last 2 weeks, one of their generals actually said that if there was a war between the United States and China, they would destroy 125 of our cities here in the United States. So Iran is not a threat to the United States. China is. China we're building up militarily and financially, and Iran we're threatening to eliminate. Doesn't make any sense.
No, but I mean, they're gearing up for something, and that's what I'm worried about.
Well, I think you have to look at it from a scriptural point of view. You know, there are a lot of agendas out there. First of all, the globalists have their agenda. They want to get us into a war in the Middle East, and they want to draw Russia and China in and really largely destroy them. And then I really believe that the communists have an agenda. They'd love, of course, to get into a war and take America down. I believe that Lucifer has an agenda, and that he wants to destroy as many people and human beings as he can, and I believe God has an agenda, and I believe it's laid out in Ezekiel 38 and 39, and I hope every one of our listeners will get their Bible out and read Ezekiel 38 and 39, as it talks about the coming war in the Middle East. And I don't think you can make any sense about anything that's going on over there, and unless you understand that we may be seeing the fulfillment of the prophecies of so many years ago.
Yeah, but I think what this guy was also saying is that they want to create... Remember, it's in your own book where I think Winston Churchill said they could have stopped World War II earlier.
Oh, no, they could... In my book, basically that's in Iraq, The Untold Story, the syllabus, where we point out that, yes, we could have stopped the Second World War.
Yeah.
The German generals wanted to surrender. Repeatedly they tried to surrender, and all they asked for was not an unconditional surrender. In other words, they would surrender, but they didn't want Russians occupying their country. We wouldn't consider it. The same thing with Japan.
Yeah.
For 6 months they tried to get a peace, as long as we wouldn't try Hirohito and we refused to stop the war. Now, anybody who doubts that would be glad to send them a free copy of my of the article we got from the Chicago Tribune, published on the day of the signing of the peace treaty with Japan, where it points out that Japan, for 5 or 6 months, had been trying to surrender, and we wouldn't let them. And actually, that was verified to me by General Albert Wedemeyer. I spent several weekends with him. He told me that's basically the same story. But we can't let the American people know that the invasion of Iwo Jima and Okinawa and the dropping of the bombs...
Hold on.
We'll be right back in just a moment.
Okay.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Go ahead, Darlene. Darlene, are you still there? Well, I guess we lost Darlene. No, I'm sorry. Anyway, well, we've got about 3 minutes here. I was just going to say that certainly if any of you would like to get a copy of the article that appeared in the Chicago Tribune, it was the middle of August of 1945. Anyway, it was the day that they signed the Japanese peace treaty on the battleship Missouri in the harbor there in Tokyo. And basically it was simply pointing out that the Japanese had been trying to surrender, and we wouldn't let them surrender. Why? Well, because they wanted as much carnage as possible. They wanted to be able to drop the nuclear bombs and use that as a fear, to create fear in the hearts of people, and to sort of give the idea that, oh my goodness, there's nothing worse than a nuclear war. And so we would make concession after concession after concession, and we would get involved in the Korean War, but of course we couldn't possibly drop those bombs. They were too horrible to contemplate, and we couldn't use anything like that in Vietnam. We didn't really want to win either war. They were simply diversions, and Vietnam was a diversion to keep our attention focused on the war in Asia, while we were losing our freedom here at home. Just exactly as Iraq is a wonderful diversion, and we argue, should we pull out or should we stay there? And of course, we're not asking any of the right questions. We're not asking if there really is an Islamic terrorist movement, if we went to war to get the leader of the Islamic terrorist movement. Why have we never tried to capture Osama bin Laden? And those of you who take our newsletter, our next one will go into the background of that, pointing out that in Richard Miniter's book, Losing Bin Laden, we had at least 11 opportunities to kill or capture Osama bin Laden before the 9/11 attack. And on two occasions, Osama bin Laden, in 1996 and again in the year 2000, had declared war on America. We knew he was behind the bombing in Aden in 1992, behind the bombing on the World Trade Center in 1993, behind the Black Hawk Down incident in Somalia in 1994, probably involved with the bombing of the Khobar Towers and the bombing in Riyadh in 1995 and 1996, certainly involved with the bombing of our embassies in Kenya and Tanzania in 1998 and the bombing of the coal, and yet they refused to try to get Osama bin Laden, and they're still refusing to try to get Osama bin Laden. So we're really involved in a war on terrorism. Why won't we try to get Osama bin Laden? And the answer should be self-evident. Because if we got Osama bin Laden, if he was captured or killed, it would totally demoralize the Islamic terrorist movement. And that is the last thing that our leaders really want today. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and of course, this is the time when I need to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and we do hope that many of you out there across America will give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters. And for a suggested gift of $20 a month or more, you'll get our four best tapes of the month, you'll get our monthly newsletter, but more than that, you'll be helping us as we reach out across America on 60 stations every week, 5 hours every day on radio someplace in America, 5 hours on the Internet, 4 hours on shortwave and on satellite. But when you become part of the Radio Liberty family, you're part of a movement that is reaching more and more people, literally every day. So if you'd like to join, our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, we do have a program. We hope to take my video, The Brotherhood of Darkness, and make just a very, very few changes in it. There's very little that we would change at all in that story of the people who really run the world and the secret societies. Not secret society, because there are many secret societies out there that all work in concert towards the New World Order and the New World Religion. And I believe that the Brotherhood of Darkness story is something that people can listen to and understand, and it has, I know in many instances, changed people's lives. I had one lawyer call me and told me he'd watched it 6 times, and he learned something new every time. I had another woman who called me and told me she had shown it to a Mason who got up at the end of the program and announced he was going back to resign from his Masonic lodge. We want to take the video and put it onto a DVD and make it available. We want to get it done professionally. And so we're making this offer, and this will be the last time we will make the offer on the air. And if you're interested, you're going to have to let us know, because we're going to close this as of this program tonight, this one broadcast tonight. If you'd like to get 25 copies of the DVD, they'll cost you $99. For you call tonight and make a pledge of $99. As soon as we have them done, you'll get the 25 copies of the DVD Brotherhood of Darkness, and then you can lend them out. You can get them in other people's hands. You could perhaps change their lives, because it's really when you understand what's really going on, when you understand that everything is illusion and delusion, when you understand that an understanding of the forces that have shaped the events of the 20th century is predicated not upon facts to be learned, but rather on secrets to be discovered. And you're going to discover them in this DVD. So if you'd like to get 25 copies of the Brotherhood of Darkness DVD, and it'll cost you $99 plus the shipping, and California the tax, of course, give us a call of 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like to get a free copy of one of our newsletters on the peak oil scam, or our latest newsletter, Deja Vu in Iraq, that's Deja Vu in Iraq, and showing the similarities between what happened in Vietnam and what's happening in Iraq, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. And then please pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. And so, well, till we be back here for the next hour, Dr. Stan saying, may the Lord be with you. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here once again at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please do not call in at all unless we ask for calls, because we have this right now, Bob Chapman from the International Forecaster. And these are exciting times, and I'm so glad Bob is with us tonight, because for several years we've been having Bob as a guest on our program regularly, and he's been talking about gold and silver and suggesting that people begin to protect their assets by getting into tangibles rather than to maintaining their savings in the fiat money system that we have now, which he feels is doomed to destruction. Well, within this last couple of weeks, why gold and now silver have taken off, and they simply, in my way of looking at things, are like the canary going down in the mine shaft. When the canary gets sick down in the mine, you know that that something is terribly dangerous there, and you better get out of the mine. When gold begins to take a run, it's like the canary in the mine shaft. It means that something is seriously wrong with the economic system, and you better reevaluate your position. With that as a background, Bob Chapman, thanks so much for being with us.
Well, thank you for having me again.
Dude, what do you think about that analogy of the canary in the mine shaft?
Oh, I think it's a very, very good one. It's that warning signal that something is amiss. And, of course, the government knows that. And the gold market since 1987 and more nearly since 1993 has been fighting suppression by central banks of the gold price, as well as silver. And so for it to have moved from 252 over the last 4.5 years up over $500 again, with all of that coming at it, is extremely telling.
I understood it hit 530 today.
Yes, it did. It traded there for quite a while. And the problem is that gold has been suppressed, and it's just like it's in the basket and the slingshot. The two rubber bands are pulled back, and it's just waiting to fly. And the same is true with silver. And one of the things that's happened is that, particularly in the last $100 move from $400 to $500. There's been tremendous physical offtake, and it just doesn't, you know, give up. It just keeps on coming. India, China, the Middle East, and the Canadians and Americans and the Europeans are not in the market. They don't know what's going on yet. You know, maybe less than 0.1% are in there, and that's virtually nothing or very little. And so you have the suppression, you have physical demand, and now we have central banks who are buyers. They are South Africa, Argentina, Russia, China, South Korea. And so that's adding more impetus to it.
In other words, what this suggests is that the central banks in those areas, in China and Russia and Argentina and South Korea, are beginning to be concerned about what's happening to the financial system, and they don't want their financial system collapsed. Those countries that don't have gold are in real trouble, or those countries that have, as we have, literally trillions of dollars circulating all throughout the world with nothing behind them. One of these days, the day of reckoning is coming, isn't it?
It surely is.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment with Bob Chapman here at Radio Liberty. Well, I guess this evening is Bob Chapman. Bob, go ahead and pick up the story. We're talking about the run-up in gold.
Right, and there's another element here that most of you out there wouldn't be aware of because you're not in the middle of the market all day long as I am. And you haven't been in the market for 46 years as a professional, and for 28 years I was the largest gold silver stockbroker in the world. And so I get a pretty good look at what goes on. And what's happened is that there's something called commercials, and these are traders who make markets in gold and silver. And in this case, we'll talk about gold. And they are short a record amount of gold. Now, what does short mean? That means that at lower prices, they have sold gold that they don't own. And eventually, they may have to deliver it, and probably will. And that means I got to buy it back. And so that puts a floor under the gold price, and it makes the upside possibilities extremely powerful.
I always like that. I always love that term. He who sells what isn't his'n has to give it back or go to prison. And so if you sold gold you don't have, you got to buy it someplace or, well, you're in real trouble.
Well, that's true. And in addition to that, at this stage, you would have to probably have another 100,000 gold contracts purchased to make the market overbought. And so based on that, I'm looking for 450, 60 on the short term before there's a correction.
And I'm so sorry, you're looking at 450 or 550?
550,
okay.
560.
Okay.
Sorry. And so we're looking here at another $25, $35 or so. And so that's what I think we see here in the short term, but longer term I see it being exceedingly higher. I have been looking for $3,500 an ounce for a long time, and I think we're going to get that. We may even go higher than that because, as we've discussed before in this program, there's all sorts of terrible financial things and monetary things going on, economic things. And, you know, the whole underpinnings of our financial system have been ripped apart. And it didn't happen yesterday. It's been going on, since I saw it in 1960. And it just continually degenerated when they went off the gold standard, the United States, in August the 15th, 1971. They became totally fiat money, and when that happened, I knew that it was going to get pretty nasty somewhere along the way, and I think...
Well, let's stop right there. Anyway, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Bob Chapman, and he says he's anticipating that gold is going to go up to a 550, 560, and he actually thinks it would go up to $3,500 an ounce. It's just a matter of time before a gold again begins to take its position as the basis for our economic system, and the people, of course, who are have everything invested in dollars stand to lose their life savings, everything they've accumulated. So go ahead, Bob.
Well, I think it's going to be expedited by a number of things. First of all, we could possibly have further warfare in other areas. The administration in Washington has told us that they'd like to invade Syria and Iran for various reasons, which I won't bother to go into. But more important, we have a budget deficit that just grows wildly every month, or every day for that matter. And we have a balance of payments deficit, which is colossal. We have personal debt that is colossal. And on top of that, we have a stock market that's being held up at its current level by intercession into the market by the working group in financial markets, which is called the Plunge Protection Team, and the Federal Reserve. And they're in there 24 hours a day in every market. And there's no way that they can continually manipulate these markets and get away with it. They have to pay sooner or later. And I think that the gold suppression cartel has lost control of the gold market. And with that said, if the real estate market comes down and the stock market comes down, there isn't going to be much of any other place to put your money except bonds, and if interest rates are rising, which they could well be, that might not be where you want to be. So the only thing really that is left is commodities and gold and silver, and commodities have made phenomenal gains, whereas gold and silver haven't. So at this point in time, not only is it a good investment for the future, but it is the perfect investment because it's underpriced vis-a-vis other things that are real assets. And on top of that, you have a pending unraveling, if you may, in the real estate market for the last perhaps 15 weeks or so. We've had indications that some of the top markets are topping out, New York, New England, and we're seeing some in Maryland. And I expect the next two big ones will be California overall, particularly Southern California, Florida, particularly Northern Florida, and Western Florida, which is the panhandle. Like Pensacola is rated number two of the nation as being overpriced. And that'll be followed by Las Vegas and Phoenix. And there are other hot spots, too. Actually, there's about 54 of them. And so it's pretty widespread. There are areas that homes have not appreciated that much, and they won't go down that much either. But I think in the hot areas, those 40 or 50 hot areas, you can expect that $500,000 homes will take a 40% correction, and the homes that are over $1 million could be anywhere between 40 and 60%. And I've been through I don't know how many real estate collapses since 1964. And if you're my age, well, you've gone through the same thing too. And it's happening. And it's going to continue, and it's going to affect the stock market. And it leaves gold and silver as wonderful investments.
All right. Well, I certainly concur with you. I just have a feeling we're on the edge of something very, very big. And when we begin to see gold going up, we want to think of that canary. It certainly is beginning to announce that something major is going to happen. And I think not only the financial markets are beginning to unravel, but certainly we've talked to people just today. I talked to a missionary just back from Israel, and she says that both Netanyahu and Sharon, who are running for the presidency over there, have both said that if it looks like Iran is going to get the bomb, that they're going to attack Iran, that they will not allow Iran to have the nuclear weapons, and that could certainly plunge America and the whole of the Middle East into a major confrontation. I don't think most people have any concept of the really what a dangerous position we're in today.
Well, I think you're absolutely right, and I think that if Israel does that, it's extremely reckless because it'll incinerate half the people in the world, because there's no way that China and Russia will stay out of it. And, you know, Russia is in the process of delivering 30 defensive short-range missiles, the very latest, to Iran. And it's a long way from Israel to Iran. And the best I think they could do, because of the distance and refueling, is hit perhaps three or four targets that they feel are very, very important. But there's probably 50 to 100 to choose from. And so they'd have to have really, really good intelligence. And the minute they went in and did it, there would be retaliation. And so, you know, Israel just can't deliver that much nuclear capacity into that area without meeting pretty stiff resistance. So they could be making a terrible mistake, even though they have thousands of nuclear weapons, because they have limitations in getting them there and delivery. And they also may bring China and Russia into this thing.
And, of course, we will be right in the center of that. And the average American has never really contemplated the significance of moving into World War III. Because World War III will not be fought in the Middle East alone. It will be fought here in America as well. And it will be fought, you know, with nuclear weapons, certainly with the weapons that can be delivered from ships offshore, with short-range cruise missiles taking out our coastal towns. people have to understand we're really dealing with frightening times.
They surely are.
Okay, well, now on that cheerful note, I really believe that, of course, the gold going up portends all sorts of major things happening. And certainly then, as we begin looking at the economy here in the United States, we see the president announcing with great fervor that what a wonderful job we're doing. They created something like 225,000 new jobs last month. But if you look and see where the jobs were, only 11,000 were in manufacturing, and a large percentage of them were government jobs, and most of them, the vast majority, were in service jobs, but nothing you could actually produce goods that you can export with. 11,000 of those 225,000 jobs were manufacturing, but nobody ever tells you the breakdown of those jobs, do they, Bob?
No, and we do carry them in the International Forecaster when they are released, and those very figures that you just talked about, for those of you who would like to get those kind of statistics, we have them in the Forecaster, and you can get a free copy by calling a toll-free number.
Why don't you go ahead and give the toll-free number? Could you give it several times?
Sure. It's 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. We publish by email once a week and twice a month in hard copy. And it's about business, finance, economics, and social political issues all over the world. And the email version runs about 45-50 pages a week.
And fascinating reading. I always try to read it every day, but it usually comes in on Sunday, and so I really try to have that read by Monday evening. Information you really won't get elsewhere. And gives you a tremendous overview of what's happening. And you know, as you look and see, so many of our major corporations are cutting back, even our major pharmaceutical companies, which have been one of the bulwarks of our industrial base, are beginning to cut back because they can't really make money selling their products either.
Well, I think that their products are reasonably priced throughout the world, except in the United States. And when you can buy a prescription in the United States for $100, in every place else in the world that it costs $30 or $40 or $50, there's something dramatically wrong. What's happening and has happened is that the American public has carried their profit. And, you know, they say that if we don't charge the Americans that kind of price, we can't do research, wouldn't bring out new products and save more lives. And I say that they are spending as much on advertising, which they don't have to spend any on, rather than research. And so the whole thing is a scam.
And that's exactly what Dr. Marshall Angel says in her book, which we carry, The Truth About the Drug Companies. They spent probably more money on advertising and detailed men and women going around to sell these products to the doctors as they do on research. They're not spending much on research. A very small percentage goes into research because most of it's being done on government money. But they don't tell the American people that.
Yeah, now they have no liability with most of the new contracts that they're getting from the government. It's just, I cover those things in the International Forecaster as well.
All right, fine. Well, what are some of the other things that really we should talk to our listeners about this evening? Because really there's so much happening on the economic situation. Certainly China's industrial capacity is growing and growing rapidly, as America's industrial capacity is shrinking and simply going away. And we're actually transferring so many of our major industries over to China, and it's not simply that the companies are going over there, they're being encouraged to go over there by our government, which is giving them all sorts of tax breaks. And certainly, in fact, we're guaranteeing them that their factories are nationalized, but we'll pay for them. They can get all sorts of loans up in the International Monetary Fund, which we finance, from the World Bank, which we finance, from the Asian Development Corporation, which we finance, from all these various Asian development banks. It's all funded with American tax money. We are funding the transfer of our industrial base to China. And you have to ask yourself, why would we do something so stupid? Go ahead, Bob.
Well, I think the fundamental underlying reason that they are allowing free trade and globalization, which is offshoring and outsourcing, is that they want to bring our economy to its knees. And the reason that they want to do that is that they want us to be forced to accept world government, in this case, a world fascist government. And that's what they're after, and that's why we're having the things happen that are happening. And the real underlying factor in the economy that most people don't realize is that we've had a recovery. It's been in kind of two phases. It's been caused by tremendous deficit fiscal and monetary spending, and it's not creative in the economic sense. But where it's spiraling to here is that during a normal double recovery, if you want to call it that, we would have created 10 million jobs, and we've created about a million. And so the real weak link is the very thing that we just talked about, free trade and globalization. And so that's the number one weakness in the economy as it turns down, which it's in the process of doing right now. Now, the second one, of course, is the real estate bubble. And the third one is the stock market bubble. There's still a bubble there. That's a bear market rally that's lasted for about 3 years now, really gone nowhere after it rallied. And I believe that both those markets are coming down. And at the same time, you're going to have massive unemployment, and we're spending tremendous amounts of money in wars which we have no business being involved in. And you put it all together, and you've got fiscal bankruptcy, probably world bankruptcy, accompanied by a false recovery since 2000 based upon extremely low interest rates and copious amounts of credit.
And because don't forget the tax cuts. Now, I'm all in favor of tax cuts, but the problem with tax cuts is you got to cut spending. You can't cut taxes and increase spending. That just is illogical. So we've done everything wrong. Cutting taxes is fine. You want to stimulate the economy, but then you don't increase government spending at the same time, or you go further and further into debt. And then, of course, you lower the interest rates when you want to stimulate the economy. You raise the interest rates when you want to cool down the economy, which is you do what you have inflation, but you're not, you know, raise the interest rates to try to cool down the economy and then keep increasing the amount of money in circulation because that's highly inflationary. You can't try to limit inflation and then increase inflation at the same time, or you get into an impossible situation. Isn't that just what we've done, Bob?
Right. I think that this particular administration, and this is its second term, has caused more trouble in the American economy than any other administration in the history of the country. I think that when this is over, people are going to look back and say, what an absolute disaster. And this is a left-wing, it's not a socialist government in the sense of socialism, it's a fascist government. And fascism is not a conservative or right-wing movement.
Hold that thought right there. We'll be back in just a moment with Bob Chapman. Well, this is Dr. Stan, our guest is Bob Chapman, and Bob was saying that he thinks that the current administration has done more harm than we've ever had done before. And the government is neither right nor left, conservative nor liberal. It is basically fascist, and basically fascism is a system of an all-powerful government working closely with corporations. In fact, what fascism is corporate socialism. And in many respects, that's almost what we have, isn't it?
It's exactly what we have. Corporatist fascism. And it's just one of many types of socialism. But, you know, it just sends my hair on end every time I read in some periodical or hear on radio or television those conservatives and right-wingers that are behind George Bush. What has happened is that the Bush neocons have totally misled what people are conservative and right-wing in this country. And they just don't get it. They don't understand that they've been used and they've been had.
And, of course, the neocons are not conservative. The neocons are Trotskyites. They're corporate socialists.
Mm-hmm. And so all these poor people have been sucked in, and they still don't get it. And, you know, we've got people in the White House who are absolutely insane. I mean, what's going on is madness.
Well, it may be madness, but I don't think they're insane. I think they know what they're doing, and I think they're intent upon destroying the economy of this country and, of course, creating such suffering and horror that the American people will willingly accept globalism, as you've said, will willingly accept the loss of our national sovereignty and the authoritarian rule of the New World Order in the name of course, restoring law and order. Well, you know, it looks to me like there's going to be real problems with the pension funds. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, as soon as the stock and real estate markets start moving down, the amount of money that they're going to have to come up with to fund their underfunded pension plans is going to be colossal. If we just return to 72-68, where we were three and a half years ago, then they're probably going to have to come up with, I figured, between the government and private pensions, about $1.3 trillion is the number. Just in the S&P 500, you're looking at a minimum of $400 billion, and some of those companies will go under because of it.
You mean they won't be able to pay their pension funds?
The money isn't there.
Right.
They're way underfunded. And they've all been doing Mickey Mouse bookkeeping and getting away with it because Congress is the worst in history. 95% of them are on the take. And, you know, any legislation that the bankers and the elitists want to pass, they just, send the hat around and just say, how much do we have to pay you to get this vote? And the guy says, well, or the lady for that matter, I need a new bridge on routes up and such, and I need these highways paved, and that'll cost $4 billion. And they say, okay, we'll do that for you.
And in return for your vote for this, right.
Ron Paul talked at length about that, and he said that CAFTA cost $50 billion, never mind the cash they gave out.
In other words, $50 billion in bribes to the various congressmen for money that would be sent to their district if they would simply vote for CAFTA. And this only involved about 30 congressmen. So that's a lot of money for every congressional district, $50 billion.
It's unbelievable what's going on. And the American public is really ignorant. They just don't get it.
I think the greatest story was the bridge to nowhere. It was going to cost $250 million to build a bridge to an island where there were 50 people up in Alaska. But Ted Stevens, of course, lives in Alaska. His daughter owns property on this island. They were going to put out $250 million to build a bridge that was known as the bridge to nowhere, because there were only 50 people on the island. Well, fortunately, they did stop the bridge. They're still going to give the money to the Alaska, so that they can spend it wherever they want, and they may very well go ahead and build a bridge. Why would you spend $250 million to build a bridge to an island where there are 50 people? But of course, I suppose Ted Stevens, Senator Stevens' daughter, has land close to where the bridge was going to be coming in. Probably be very profitable, wouldn't it? We'll be back in just a moment with Bob Chapman, and we're going to invite your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. I don't know anybody who knows more about what's going on economically than Bob. So give us a call if you'd like to talk to him, right here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and our guest this evening, Bob Chapman. Bob, go ahead and pick up the story there.
Well, we were talking about the Bridge to Nowhere.
The Bridge to Nowhere, right.
And we were also talking about the corruption. You know, John McCain said the other day, and he's not one of my favorite people, but he said that the corruption in Washington has never been greater, and it just gets worse and worse every day. And, you know, he's right in the middle of it because he's being approached by people who are giving money away. And, you know, the recent conviction of Randy Cunningham, representative from Southern California, is going to bring to light a lot of other things, because the two companies that he was dealing with are CIA front operations, and it was in defense contracts, and there's a whole big can of worms there. And then we have Abramoff and Scanlon, and they have about 60 senators and congressmen who are under investigation, who are getting, or allegedly were getting, payoffs from Abraham via his funding source, which the American Indian tribes, who he bamboozled out of lots and lots of money.
About $80 million.
And I believe that maybe the public will get a better inkling of the congressional corruption that's going on. And because this will all hit the fan prior to the next congressional election. I feel that the best way to handle it is, except for special individuals like Ron Paul and the others of his stature, just throw all of them out, Democrat and Republican, who's ever running, vote for somebody who is on another ticket. You can't put those people back in there, because they're going to keep on doing it.
Well, I fear that probably by, you know, the year 2008, you wouldn't be able to elect a Republican as dog catcher. I think that the Bush administration is going to do more to discredit the Republican Party and Christianity than any other movement, any other political situation in our time. I really believe that.
I agree with you. And, you know, I wrote a piece about that today.
Hold that
thought. And I think, sure.
We'll be back here in just a moment. Our special guest this evening is Bob Chapman, right here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Bob Chapman. And, Bob, you were saying that you'd written something just today. You want to finish up that thought?
Well, the key element, as far as I can see politically, is the case of immigration. And the Republicans continue to go along with the party line of the neocons, which is suicide for them individually. There was an election in Southern California, a special election in the last few days, and I'm sure you're aware of it, and the gentleman who ran, the Minutemen, which were assisting Border Patrol along the border, he ran against a Democrat and a Republican and three assorted others who didn't get hardly any votes at all. Democrat got 28%. But this is a hardcore ex-Chris Cox position there in Irvine and thereabouts. And the Republican only got 45% of the vote because the Democrat took 28%. And I forget the fellow's name.
Gilchrist. Right.
He got 25% of the vote, which is really, really a lot. And if the Republicans in Congress are not getting the message, they better get it, because they won't be allowed to be elected dog catcher for the next 15 years. So they better not go along with this amnesty line, or they'll all be out of jobs.
Amen to that. Well, let's go to Roger's calling us from Nevada. Roger, you have a question for our guest.
Yes, Bob. You were talking about gold and silver earlier around 9 o'clock tonight. I just want to ask you, okay, do you sell gold and silver yourself, Bob?
No. No, I do not. I don't sell gold and silver coins or stock or bullion.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I don't sell anything. I just have a publication called the International Forecaster.
Okay, I got that number off the program. Do you know who would be a good place to buy gold and silver coins from? Do you know any reputable dealers?
Yeah, if you email me, I can give you some people to go to, both for shares as well as coins.
Mm-hmm.
All you have to do is call in to that number I gave out, which is 800-375-4188.
Mm-hmm.
And do you have email?
No, I do have a fax machine. I do fax, and you can fax stuff over to me on fax.
Just send me a note and mail it to me,
uh-huh.
And because my address is on the publication, and or include your phone number and make a note to the people who answer the call that you want some coin dealers, and we'll fix you up. There's a whole bunch of them out there.
Good.
But be very careful, Roger. I mean, some of them are great people that we have on our programs. I'd like to think are all very good, but there are an awful lot of sharks out there in the water, too.
Absolutely. Let me ask you another question there, Bob, before I get out of here. Gold, how far do you think that's going to go up within the next 2 months?
Well, I think we get on the short term, which is perhaps over the next 8 weeks, we could go to 550-60. We just might get lucky. It might go to 600 because of the tremendous short position, and they haven't got out of their shorts yet.
Mm-hmm.
I'll know better when I see the figures tomorrow morning for what transpired today. But
now let me ask you about the silver price.
I watched the trading action, and I don't think they've been covering.
Mm-hmm. Now, silver, it went up to $8, didn't it, today?
It went up to $9 today.
Whoa.
$9.02.
Boy, what a shock. Wow.
So if you've been listening to our program, you're probably a very rich man.
I know. See, I bought some silver, you know, and I've been waiting for a shipment to come out, you know, and I just want to get some more. You know, that's the only thing this guy here can afford here in Henderson.
Okay, anything else, Roger?
No, that's basically about it.
Okay,
thank
fine.
Thank you so much there, Dr. Stanton. I appreciate it, and God bless you, my friend.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye. Okay,
bye-bye.
Fine, and our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And, you know, one of the big problems we have is that so many people certainly are anticipating they're going to get their Social Security, and they're going to get their Medicare. But if you read the speech that Alan Greenspan gave to Congress, the last speech to Congress, it was, I think, November 3rd or November 4th, he concluded by saying, we ought to be honest with the people. We ought to let them know those people are planning on retiring and expecting to get their pensions and their health care, that it may not be available and they may want to work longer begin to make preparations for what lies ahead. Did you pick that up when you read that speech?
Well, he came right out and said it. He said that people are going to have to settle for less. The funding for Social Security and Medicare, it just isn't there.
Right.
It won't be there. And he's absolutely right. But, you know, he waited since 1987 to tell us that.
Well, I think at least he told it. The thing is that this should have been headlines in every newspaper. Alan Greenspan says the money isn't there. And, of course, the tragedy is the only way they're going to be able to make Social Security economically stable would be to raise the retirement age to 78 to 84, somewhere in there, and then everything would be just fine.
Well, I think they can prolong it by raising the level to 70 years old, and maybe they can find some sort of solution. But other than that, I think it's beyond them. The average male is now living to 78, which, if he starts collecting at 70, he would have 8 years. And the female lives to 82, so that's 12 years. And that's probably what they're going to have to live with.
Either that or going to have to get rid of the elderly by getting them to take their flu shots, because they know very well it'll produce Alzheimer's disease and a premature death. But after all, aren't there too many older people? Or maybe there are people who really don't value human life. Well, let's go to John calling from Vermont. Hi, John. How are you? Do you have a question for our guest?
Yes, Dr. Stan. Good evening.
Good evening.
First of all, I'd like to tell you about the appearance of three musketeers here in Vermont recently. on the page of one of the newspapers was a picture of John Kerry speaking in a nearby city. And I looked on the inside, and the first shot, though, I saw him with his collar opened up. And then there was a wide-angle shot there in the inside of the paper, and two other people had their shirts without neckties. And so we saw appearing with John Kerry was Senator Leahy and Mr. Bernie Sanders.
All right. So what was the significance of that?
I was wondering what it was.
I don't know.
But it was kind of an interesting thing. I thought I'd pass that on.
All right. I have no thoughts on it. Do you have any thoughts on that, Bob?
No, I'm not close enough to.
Okay, fine. Anything else?
And politics.
John, did you have a question at all for our guest?
Yes. I was wondering if Mr. Chapman or yourself have heard that the reason why we went into Iraq was because Saddam decided to switch his dollars to the euro.
Okay, fine. Because we've all
heard that. I wrote about that 3 years ago, and I said that and oil would be the reasons that they would go in. And we even got pretty close to the date that they went in, and this was a year and a half before anything happened.
I really think that Bob is absolutely right, but I think there is another reason, and that is that they really want to change the rulers of all the countries there in the Middle East, and they want to change the rulers in Iran, even though we brought the Ayatollahs to power. They want to actually change the ruler in Saudi Arabia and Qatar, and they want to put puppets into every one of those countries. And I have this from pretty good authority from people who are very closely affiliated with the CIA, and they've said this. This is what it's really all about, but they can't tell the American people that. They've got to make them believe that we went in there because we were sure Saddam was a real threat to the United States. And that's why we went in. It was a patriotic thing to do.
Yes, Dr. Stan. And also, I've been telling this to people that men are certainly out there on the edge in a lot of areas, in almost all areas of life. But they aren't the only ones that are doing anything, because God is really ruling over all, and things are going to turn out just the way we see them prophesied in the scriptures.
I think you're absolutely right, John, and your job is to get people to understand that what this is all about. Try to get them to listen to our program, and hopefully why we can convince them that God does rule in the affairs of men.
Yes, I have a couple of more short items. I was going to ask Mr. Chapman. When it comes to the terrible worldly situation that the economies are really up against, I feel it's really an ultimate thing. And even though gold is precious and silver also, I think that there's going to be so much pressure on gold and silver that it's going to be kind of obliterated, and I think it's going to probably end up in total confusion.
What do you mean by that?
Well, total confusion.
Well, I mean, we're going to have total confusion, but yes. What does gold and silver have to do with total confusion?
Well, if we're coming to the point where the economies are not worth anything, and if everybody cashed in on the American debt, it would probably come to nothing, and nothing would be worth anything.
Well, then how would you
for gold?
Uh huh.
And then there would be so much pressure on the gold worldwide, I don't see anybody able to come out of it.
Well, I think the thing is you have to have something to exchange.
Yeah.
That is the basis of any organized society. How would you respond to John's statement there, Bob?
Thank you.
I think that he's looking at a doomsday scenario, and that's okay. But you've got to remember that the owners of gold owe nothing to anybody. and uh-huh. it's the only ultimate real currency.
True.
Silver has been to some extent historically. But the point is that if you've got it in your hand, I mean, you've got something of value as opposed to a building that you can't sell because there's no liquidity, or a stock that you can't sell because the markets are shut down. And so ultimately, gold and silver are the ultimate investment.
Okay, thanks very much. And let's go to Jack calling here from Michigan. Hi, Jack. Do you have a question for our guest?
Yes, indeed. Regarding...
Speak right up, please.
Yes, regarding the debt of the American people, Article... Amendment 14th, Section 4, says the validity of the public debt of the United States, etc., shall not be questioned. And I got to wondering about that. The United States is a municipal corporation, and as of 1933, according to H.E.R. 192 and Bretton Woods Agreement, etc., they are in fact insolvent or bankrupted. Now, relative to all these various loan agreements, whether it be mortgages, etc., it's my understanding that they are intrinsically fraudulent on their face based on the exchange of one currency, a promissory note.
Okay, now, Jack, what is your question?
Well, my question is, how can that debt in reality be valid when it's all based on the bankruptcy of the corporate United States as well as the fraudulent nature of these loan agreements?
Okay, fine. Bob, how would you respond to that?
They are bankrupt, and all the contracts that they make are invalid. You take a mortgage, and I don't know how many items are invalid, but there's lots of them. There's a number. And you're right about being a municipal corporation. And I believe what will happen is that the debt of government will be bankrupted. It will not be ordered. And that's why they don't care about foreigners supplying us with $3 or $4 billion a day and buying all our treasury paper and agency paper and all of the packaged ABS, which is more often than not real estate loans, because they're all going to be defaulted. And so they're not particularly concerned about that. Now, what you brought up is a very good question, and that is the whole financial system is going to come down because of the things you mentioned and many of the things that I've mentioned, and Dr. Stan as well. And so... Again, getting back to the answer to the previous question of the previous caller, the only thing that really is intrinsically real is gold and silver. And that's the place to be to protect yourself against the profligacy, the illegal actions of government and particularly banks, and the fact that they're issuing worthless contracts and so on and so forth.
And it's a very interesting clause in the 14th Amendment, which does say the validity of the public debt of the United States, authorized by law, shall not be questioned. Why in heaven's name would they put that into the 14th Amendment?
The 14th Amendment was an amendment which came to about to give freedom to the slaves and allow them to vote and...
But I really believe that there were people working in the United States, even at that time, who were intent upon creating this all-powerful central authority built upon debt. And I'll never forget attending a communist meeting one time that was held in my community, where Herbert Aptheker, who was the chief theoretician of the Communist Party, was there, and he was saying that during the Civil War, the communists were there working, on the side of the North. Well, of course, what they were really doing was working to centralize all power with a federal government, because that's always been the purpose of communism, working right along with people of great wealth in this country who financed the communist movement to certainly circumvent our constitutional concept of limited government and centralized all power with a centralized authority. And then, of course, this massive debt that they've taken on. one day will eventually simply destroy the whole fabric of our society. That's the only, I see no other alternative. There's no way we can ever pay off all the debts we've said. It's, many people will actually suggest we owe somewhere between $50 and $70 trillion all the things we promised to provide for the people and have no way of paying for it.
Well, I think that we've given the caller quite a widespread answer.
Right. And I, but the question is to why they would put that in the 14th Amendment. I think there is long-term planning. I think everything that's going on is part of a very, very long-term plan. I believe that the war in the Middle East, which we're engaged in now, was planned a half a century ago. And our good friend Dr. Dennis Cuddy has a map that was prepared in 1950 telling where the troops would be stationed from which nation. When we moved to the New World Order, and where do you think American troops were to be stationed when the New World Order was coming back around? Right there in the Middle East where we are today. Well, Bob, we've got 3 minutes for you to wrap up the program.
Well, thank you. I think that a thing of great importance is for people to be getting out of the debt that they're in, particularly credit card debt and the revolving debt, which are the most expensive. And I think those people, once they've done that in process, should decide whether they can or want to sell the house in which they live because they have appreciation. I think it's very, very important because I believe that house prices over the next 2.5 to 3 years will probably drop somewhere around 40% in the hot areas and 50 to 60% in the expensive hot areas. And we saw this between 1989 and 92, only this time there's a lot more debt than there was then. And so those of you who don't need that big house that you live in and paid a low price for and can now sell for a lot more money, I think you should consider doing that, especially if your children are no longer living with you. And I think that people who have made very, very large gains just in the last, say, 10 or 12 years. They bought a house for $150,000. It's worth $900,000. I think they should get out and get their money and go and rent. I mean, that's a lot of money for the average family. And if you want to know where to put it, it's in gold and silver-related assets.
One of our listeners actually approached me. We had a seminar telling me he'd done exactly that and has a nice home actually down in San Antonio moving into, and he says, I won't have to work for the next 5 years. Another one of our listeners had actually sold their home and gone up to Washington and bought a couple of duplexes and actually two homes, so he doesn't have to work anymore. So the thing is that, you know, people should start making their plans. We're moving into difficult times. I agree with you, Bob, and it's always such a pleasure to have you with us. And so basically I'd like you to give your telephone number and your website one more time.
The telephone number is 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Those of you who would like to go to our site, that address is...
Hold that thought for just a moment, and we'll... Well, this is Dr. Stan, and before I let Bob go, I wanted him to give his telephone number and his address one more time. And the telephone number is 800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. And then, what is the website once again, Bob?
That address is theinternationalforecaster.com. The International FORECASTER.com.
Well, God bless you. We'll I'll give you send you an email, and we'll line up another couple of programs. I always enjoy hanging
right.
with you.
Thank you for having me again.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, fine. That was Bob Chapman of the International Forecaster, and I hope you've enjoyed the program. I think that we are moving into some very, very difficult times. I'm very concerned about the possibility of a war in the Middle East. Are we being manipulated and scared unintentionally? I don't think so. I really think that the biblical prophecies suggest there will be a war, and is this the time? Well, we're just going to have to wait and see, but everything would suggest that the one reason we went into Iraq was so we would have a staging platform to advance wars throughout all of the Middle East. And as I mentioned earlier, I have information from somebody who I believe is very closely affiliated with the CIA, who's made statements through the years have been incredibly accurate. And he says the reason we went into the Middle East is to change all of the governments there. And I believe that's exactly what it's all about. As we install our puppets so we can move towards the New World Order and the New World Religion. Well, ladies and gentlemen, behind everything that's going on today are powerful spiritual forces. I would suggest that you read Ezekiel 38 and 39 to try to understand what is taking place in the Middle East, understanding that many very wise people, far wiser than I am, believe that the war that is described in Ezekiel 38 and 39 is not the Battle of Armageddon, but is a precursor to it. So read 38, 39, and you'll begin to see all of the characters and all of the various nations over there named as the prophecies were laid out as to who was going to be on what side as we move towards the coming Great War, what I believe will be World War III. We ask you, of course, to give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters and helping us as we try to explain to people that behind everything that's going on today are powerful spiritual forces. And then, of course, we suggest you go to our website at www.radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. If you'd like a free copy of one of our newsletters, either the one on peak oil and to explain why your utility bills are going up, why the price of natural gas, heating oil, and electricity are going up, it's all planned. Peak Oil 2. We'll be glad to send you a copy of Peak Oil 2. Of course, you can get it off our website at RadioLiberty.com. But if you'd like a free copy and you haven't been in touch with us before, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, we certainly ask you to pray for America, to pray for revival, to pray for our leaders and ministers, but please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. And so, until we're together again, may the Lord be with you.